Inside DJ's DVR, a television and film podcast, part of the DVR Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Inside DJ's DVR. It's me, DJ Tim Hines, and I'm bringing you another episode to you, the fans, and the listeners. Thank you guys for supporting, getting a lot of feedback, love it. Some iTunes reviews, some different countries, feeling it, some emails. Thank you. Last episode was a good episode to get back in the saddle, and I do appreciate all the support and all the little feedback I got. So, I'm going to start the show off on a sad note, not so sad note, but I turned it around. If I did this podcast at the beginning of the week, probably would have been a little sadder, but I'm doing it at the end of the week, and it's the weekend, and I'm happy, and I've had some time to digest, and the thing I'm talking about is the loss of the World Series in Game 7. The Los Angeles Dodgers lost to the Houston Astros. I got to watch the Game 7 in company of my cousin, who's a gigantic Dodgers fan as well, out here in New York. We hung out at his house, watched the game together, enjoyed it. We got very nervous and upset together, but overall, it was many marvelous achievements this year by the Dodgers and many milestones set. Great team, full of youth. Hope this is an experience that I get to repeat again next year, except maybe with a different outcome. But I'm happy the season went the way it did. And that's where I'm at. I'm happy about the Dodgers, although I'm upset. But it was a good season. I enjoyed baseball. I had a lot of fun. And for those of you who don't care about baseball, care about me. Care about your host, because this is how I feel. But I'm not going to talk about baseball for a while, because we got a long time until that gets started again. So, let's catch up. Since last recording, I listened to a bunch of good podcasts. I actually listened to a bunch tonight, got to catch up on some things. The Thack Daddy Experience is a new one on the DVR Podcast Network. Now, that one is pretty cool. It's in the third episode. It's just the Thack Daddy breaking it down. Short episodes, maybe half hour or so. Just some random thoughts. Him getting in the groove, learning the podcast ways, and telling it how it is. It's pretty cool. So I listened to that one. I listened to Axel's Curb podcast. Him and Sean, fire. I got to listen to the final Deuce podcasts that Mike and Jason put out. Those are excellent. And some sports podcasts and some other things. So yeah, I got to listen to some of those this week. I got to experience Halloween. I don't know if you guys celebrate that wherever you live in this fair part of the earth, but in the United States, it's kind of a holiday where people spend ridiculous amounts of money to dress their kids up like ridiculous characters and people throughout history and fictitious characters and real characters, and they go around like peasants door to door begging for candy with the threat of doing a trick to these people if they don't give them candy. It's pretty ridiculous. I don't participate in it, but if I had kids, I probably would, because it's kind of cool to see kids do some kid stuff. And if you tell your kid about the real ways and how it's all a sham to make money and how these big companies just profit off us, probably would be pretty depressing. Your kid would probably need, like, you know, some guidance along the way of how to cope with other kids. So you just kind of participate. Now, around here in New York, they still do it door to door. I'm a little bit in the suburbs of New York, not in the direct city. I know in the city they go to stores and stuff, because going up all them flights of all these buildings is kind of ridiculous. But I know sometimes they go around and stores give out stuff and, you know, things like that. I particularly don't give anything out of my house, because I usually work nights and I'm never home. And if I am home, I go to my friend's house with little kids. I don't have kids, so I got to see the little ones there. For many years, my cousin's birthday has fallen 2 days before Halloween, and he's now away at college, so this is like one of the first years we haven't gotten together for him. So I've been kind of free with Halloween, and I took off because about a month ago, one of my good buddies called me up, and he said, "Yo, Tim." Well, he didn't really say, "Yo, Tim," because he don't talk like that, but he said, "Tim, what are you doing on Halloween?" I said, "I don't know, probably working. What day is it?" He said, "Tuesday." I said, "Yeah, I'll be working." He said, "Take off." I said, "All right, what are we doing?" He said, "I got tickets to go see Gwar." I said, "Yeah, let's do it, baby. Gwar. I love Gwar." Now, you guys, you know, I'm a house head. You know, actually, you know what? I'm going to bring you guys up to speed. Right now, I'm recording this. It's late night, Saturday night into Sunday morning, depending where you're at. And I'm actually on right now on a syndicated broadcast. Oh, yeah. This is live right now. BN4IA.com. This is the Vegas broadcast. Now, like I said, my show is broadcast in many time zones. Some people hit me up. I sent you the info. Yeah, that's how I get down. This is this type of stuff I play. Oh, yeah. So, back to that. I'm like, you know, of course I like my house music, but I love all kinds of music. I play weddings, mitzvahs, sweet 16s, all kinds of parties. I play house parties and everything. You know, I'm into all music. And about, I would say like 2002, I'm at work, get transit to this one facility, and I link up with this guy, and he's, you know, about maybe 8 years older than I am. And he says, "You ever listen to this Gwar band?" I said, "No, what is it?" He's like, "You're funny." He goes, you know, we got to know each other a bit, and he liked my personality. He's like, "Check this out." And he brought me in some CDs. We were at work at nights. And before he let me listen to it, he's like, "Just read the lyrics." And I'm reading these lyrics, and I'm laughing my ass off because they're like so twisted and warped out that I couldn't imagine how they're used in a song. So I'm like, I got to hear this stuff. And it's like crazy metal. And now I'm finding out about this band, and he sees that I like the band. So he's telling me all about his history, that he's seen them since 85 when they started, and the whole history of Gwar. So now maybe 2003 comes around, they're playing in Connecticut. He's like, "We're going to go see them. We're going to take a road trip with my buddy." And we go up, we see them, and it's a crazy show. I was not expecting this. Now, YouTube wasn't wild back then on your phone, and I wasn't really looking stuff up. I saw, you know, a lot of stuff online, and I had remembered them from the movie Empire Records, when the kid's eating the brownies, and he's getting all high, and he's laughing, and they play Gwar, and he's like kind of in the video, and I see them in these costumes, so I kind of knew a little bit. But now I'm listening to the CDs at work, and I'm like, cool, I'm getting amped up. Well, we go see Gwar for the first time, I was floored. Like, it's a crazy show. First of all, they dress up in these giant costumes. It's heavy metal, but it's like funny heavy metal in like a twisted out way. You got to be a warped sense of humor to understand the funniness in it. Some people think it's crazy and nutty, and I should be locked up for listening to it. But so we go. First time I see them, I'm like, this is awesome. I love this. We got to do it. So every year since, just about, I might have missed 1 year or maybe two, we see them either in New York City, on Long Island where I'm at. You know, we've traveled to Connecticut. So we see them when they're around, and they are fun. They come out in these big costumes, and they're like their own gods, that they created this whole story around them. It's too much to really get into in one podcast, but like they have a whole lore about them, which makes it even cooler. And they do these crazy things on stage with their slaves, and they bring popular characters who are in our pop culture at the time onto the stage, and they sort of mutilate them. Now they're big like foam costumes, and when they mutilate them with these foam swords and axes and whatnot, they have hoses hooked up to the guts and the innards that get exposed when they mutilate them, and they're filled with blood, fake blood that's food coloring inside water, and it's just squirted all over the crowd. And when you go, this venue has all their speakers covered with plastic, and it's just mayhem. And now, if you're into metal or rock and you know how a concert works, you got like your pit people, your back people who watch the show and just chill, and you got your front people who are just clawing for the front. Now, this show is hardcore. Everybody wants to get up front because they want to get blasted and sprayed. And through my years, I've realized, like, a lot of people wear white and light colors because it's kind of fun to come out. Now, my first experience there in Hartford, Connecticut, it was pretty wild. I didn't know what the hell I was getting into. It was cold. He tells me bring a change of clothes. Well, thank goodness I did. I was freezing, and it was just fun. I left that place like, what in the hell? And ever since then, we've been going. So the crowd's been dwindling down as people get older and drop out. So it was just him and I, and we went to Irving Plaza, Manhattan. We got there early, got a spot right across the street. I was all ready. We go, you know, right for the opening band. They had three opening bands and Guar, and it was called Guaroween. And they gave out these cool posters, and it was just fun. So we heard these three bands, and as, you know, the first band's going on, we're just chilling. And we're working our way up front. By the time the third band came on, my hand was on the rail, his hand was on the rail. Bam, we claimed our spot, and we were ready. Fighting, getting pushed, and people jamming into my back and elbows. And I loved every second of it. I love that gritty hardcoreness of concerts, especially heavy metal and rock concerts. So I was in the zone. I was ready for it. Well, Guar comes on, and they put on a fabulous show. I don't know if fabulous is the right word. They put on a gnarly show. It was awesome. I was covered head to toe in blood, Guar blood and semen and piss and whatever you want to call it that came out on stage. They slaughtered some crazy SS type looking guys who were trying to control Guar, and they tried getting who was on there? CEO of Glomco, which is like a corporation who's trying to turn Guar corporate, and they killed her, and just all types of wildness. And I came out bloody head to toe, ribs hurting, elbows hurting, arms hurting, and I loved it. So much fun. So I had to tell you guys a little bit about it. I told Axel, I sent him a couple pictures, and he's like, dude, you got to talk about this on the show. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. So that inspired me to go there and let you guys know about the other side of DJ, the wild side, the getting in the pit and getting messy and knocking heads. I love that stuff. Now, it ain't for the faint of heart. I don't suggest everybody go to a Guar show, but definitely check it out on YouTube. It's fun as shit. This time, also the topping on icing on the cake, the best pop culture icon they brought out was Trumpito. And he came out and he did like a funny little monologue, and they had the Glomco lady, and they just wrecked them both. It was hilarious, and I was glad to get that blood spewed all over my face and body. I wore a white long sleeve shirt and some really light color blue jeans, and they came out all pink and mashed up colors. It was great. Oh, it was so much fun. Yeah, wow, I'm getting excited. I feel like amped up talking about this. So yeah, that was my wild night of Halloween. Now, I could give a shit less about Halloween. I didn't get dressed up like any clown. There was some people dressed up in stupid costumes there, which it was unnecessary because Guar's the act and you don't need the sideshow. And their costumes aren't dressed up for Halloween. They just do it because that's what they do. So, I don't know. Halloween's a little weird. I guess, you know, if you're in the right environment, it could be fun. For me, it's kid shit. I don't really get down. I don't really like to get suckered in with buying these mass bags of candy I give out to kids who beg. They don't even do anything cool. Like if they came up and told me a joke, I'd give them a piece of candy. But kick rocks, kids. Not that I don't like kids, but I don't like kids. Bow! I do like kids, but I like to give them back. And I don't like stranger kids. Except Stranger Thing kids. Which, sadly to say, I didn't get to. Stranger Things 2 is out. I'm hearing good things. I'm hearing weird things. But it's a mass phenomenon, so it's hard to trust the people who I hear things from. Because, like, with this type of show, everybody's like, yeah, you gotta see it. Yeah, everybody's seeing it. So I jumped on the train late because of kind of that reason. And I liked it. I loved it. It's my type of show. But I could see where people just watch it and like, eh, what is this? This is slow or this is weird. And they didn't like TV in the 80s, so I don't really listen to anybody, so fudge y'all. I listen to my TV people, so you guys know what I like. If you guys want to hit me up with a little review, tell me, but no spoilers, because I didn't watch it yet. Oh, man. Speaking of didn't watch it yet, I got a list here of shit in the box that I have not watched yet. You know what? I'm going to do it backwards this week. I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to tell you what I haven't watched, and then we'll get into some stuff I have watched. What I haven't watched. All right, so I taped this show that was on Showtime called Active Shooter. I got 5 episodes of that. It's kind of like about mass shootings since about, I think they started with the Columbine. Oh, no, they started with the first episode was the Aurora shooting, and they got into like more recent shootings from there about the problem in America, and they interview a lot of people. I've only watched 1 episode. I kind of didn't like the way it was set up, but I saved them, so I got them in the box. I got 2 episodes of Epically Latered, so I'm looking forward to those. I got 6 episodes of Will and Grace. Now, I was a big Will and Grace fan. We kind of talked about it on the premiere preview. What is it? What do we call it? Like the fall lineup show. But I haven't watched any of them. They're all in the box. They're half-hour shows, so hopefully I'll catch some time and just blow through them in 1 or 2 nights, and we'll be talking about those on a future episode. But I do enjoy me some Will and Grace, so hopefully this one's good. There's an NPR podcast I listen to called... damn, now I can't even remember the name of it. It's called... I'm going to pull it up right now. It's called... I don't even have to... I'm almost pulling it up. I remembered. Pop Culture Happy Hour. They talk a little bit about what they like, what, you know, what's going on in the world. Quick, brief discussion. Sort of like this show, except more in depth because they're like professional reviewers and get paid and shit. And I'm more of like a fanboy. So I'm telling you what's up. But they have an episode about it. And I'm pretty sure they liked it because the episode's titled What We Liked, Will and Grace. So I'm looking forward to listening to that. But I've saved it because I'm waiting until after I watch Will and Grace. Yeah, that was a little sidebar. I got episode 7 of Gotham. I got the Menendez brothers, episodes 3 through 6 still I got to watch. I really liked the first 2 I watched, so I'm going to get into that. I know Gina hit me up. She said those are good. 2 episodes of The Good Doctor still. I watched 1 this week. I'll talk about that. I started listening to the Michael Rapaport podcast, and he's funny as hell, and he... always been a fan of his movies and his pop culture stuff. He's a big sports guy, so they always have him on New York sports radio doing little cameos and whatnot. So when I heard he has a podcast that's pretty popular, I started listening to that. And fast forward, he's in a show, little spots on a show called White Famous on Showtime. So I taped those. I got those in the box. I'm looking forward to watching that. And I taped a Spielberg documentary on HBO. Now, I haven't watched it. I'm going to get into that when I get a chance, but it's long. It's like 2.5 hours, and I'm guessing with HBO, it's probably going to be like, you know, 2 hours and 35 minutes with their previews and the credits and such. So those are things that I'm looking forward to getting into, but I need a little time to do that. So I've talked, I've ranted, told you a little bit about the Guar, about the radio show, and I'm going to talk to you about the box, what's inside DJ's DVR, what I watched. You guys know it. If you've been following the show, this is where we do it. The big part of the show, what the show's all about.
Let's see what's in the box. It's time for grab the remote and press play.
Into the nuts and bolts and inside the DVR. That's right. I told you guys about the stuff I didn't watch, which is a whole lot. Which primarily is because... busy time of the year, holiday, the concert, and baseball all wrapped into the week and kind of threw my schedule off. But I did watch a few really good things. So let's start off with Curb Your Enthusiasm. This episode was titled Thank You for Your Service. And I thought this one was really funny. It didn't live up to all the other ones, but it really brought up a lot of those great Larry David, this is shit that happens in real life moments, from Larry ordering food and asking the waiter if he changes something, what's his opinion on the chef's, you know, feedback, to someone coming into the picture who's, you know, a friend of a relative who is formerly from the war in Afghanistan, and everybody's thanking him for his service in the room, and Larry doesn't, and he gets all bent out of shape, and it's kind of a funny thing because you kind of feel like you have to sometimes, and rightfully so. Anybody who serves should get thanked, but you don't have to. So it kind of just brings up that funny, weird feeling that you could get. And the funny part of the episode is the guy actually gets butthurt by it, which a normal soldier would not, because they don't do it for recognition. They do it for the love of their country and their service. But that's besides the point. A really funny episode. Might I suggest accompanying the episode, you should check out Curb Your Podcast. Axel and Sean break it down really well. you know, like I said before in the show, I'm not one to really take heavy notes on each show that I watch. I'm just going to give you a little fanboy perspective. I don't know the directors of everything, and you know who produced certain episodes and whatnot, and you know wrote certain episodes. So I'm just going to tell you basics. Those I'm going to direct you sometimes to other podcasts that do break down these shows heavy, like that. You know, like Axel's show, like they break it down. They talk almost 40 minutes, 50 minutes sometimes about it. You know, one of these episodes, and they do a really good job. So I suggest you check those out. Axel's, you know, podcast is one of them. I told you about the Deuce Rethread. That's another one we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, this week's episode was very funny. I love Curb. I love where it's at. And it just always makes me laugh. So Curb was really good this week. I suggest it. If you didn't watch it, you should. If you did, you kind of didn't know what I was talking about. But all right, thanks for listening. Next show, I watched an episode of Epically Latered. Like I said, I got a few in the box still to go, but this one was about Andrew Reynolds. He was a Florida kid, turned really young kid, turned amateur, then turned pro, and, you know, lived to skate, and then got really into this wild house with a bunch of guys, and wound up, you know, doing a trick, getting it recorded, partying for a few days, doing a trick, getting recorded, partying for a few days. And this habit, you know, led to a rough lifestyle. And you see it depicted in the episode. And then you see towards the whole episode, how it's coming together is he transformed his pro career, you know, not only into a company or a couple companies, but he has a bunch of young skaters under his wing. Kids, you know, young kids, like, you know, maybe I would say early teens, his daughter's into skating. Really cool episode and really cool way to transition into a wild party life into something that's really productive and inspiring. And he breaks down how an artist, be it a skater or whatever, has this thing in their head and they do it over and over again. And maybe sometimes people deem them weird on the outside, but they have this thing they got to get out. And from a creative standpoint, I understand what he's saying, because sometimes it's just so hard to get an idea out, and or, you know, be it a trick in the skate world or a painting or, you know, however you express yourself, if you're artistic somehow, sometimes you just get caught up and you feel like you're not part of everything because you're hyper-focused on your thing. But it's good to be, because sometimes, you know, these things lead to positivity instead of following, you know, regular paths that, you know, say a quote unquote normal kid would go and, you know, lead and maybe, you know, go a different path. So it was a really good episode, the way it kind of transitioned into like a morality type episode. I recommend it. Very good one. That's Epically Latered on Viceland. My usual Viceland, Deezus Amiro. I didn't watch much this week. I have some in the box. I know they're probably going to, you know, do some good stuff. Laugh a lot about Trumpito and probably, you know, get me down again by talking about the Dodgers, because everywhere I turn, I'm seeing clips of how great the Astros are and first-time winners, and I'm happy for them. And I'm just, it's slow burn. But get to another show. I did watch The Good Doctor. If you guys haven't watched it, I've described it on earlier episodes. Show about Dr. Sean Murphy with high-functioning autism. And this episode, to me, was another good one. This is the fourth episode in the series. I have a couple more in the box still to be watched. But I did enjoy this one more than the last episode. It had a little less drama and, you know, heartstringy stuff where it had a little more focus on the doctoring and taking risks and, you know, chances and putting his brain to use, and also seeing the inside of his apartment and how he can't sleep and certain things that trigger his, I would say, fits he has, and, you know, where he gets lost and can't focus on certain things. And you see the autism come into play, and they, you know, kind of describe it in picture form, and you see how his brain kind of depicts the what's happening around him. So I'm liking where the show is going. It's 4 in, and I'll definitely be keeping you up on that when I watch the next couple. They are recorded and should be ready to go whenever I have some time. Ugh, time. Such a hard thing to find. I don't know if you guys agree, but to me, it's hard to find. But I freed up some time. The next show I'm going to talk about is a show I've been watching for 2 seasons, coming into the 3rd season. It had its premiere. It's called The Blind Spot on NBC. I first started watching it a couple years ago. The first episode, this woman comes out of a big, huge duffel bag in the middle of Times Square and all tattooed up. And the tattoos are all these mysteries. And they have these scientific type FBI agents and computer whizzes and mental type doctors and then agents. And they make this team and they go hunting all the clues that the tattoos give. And I was into it a little bit, you know, and I was like, all right, it's got that cool little vibe that's going on with the tattoos and the edginess with the FBI stuff on the fringe side of the kind of task force. And then, you know, I'm like, all right, it's gonna be a little campy because it's NBC, and it, you know, all right, I give it a shot. First season was good. Second season, it was all right. And they wrapped up the storyline. I was like, wow, I never really took the show like this to do that. All right, so we sit down, start season 3, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, all right, so they solved the tattoo thing, and, you know, now she's part of the team, I'm thinking, and here we go. And flew off the rails. Jumping the shark is, like, not even a term that could be used for this. It's just pure ridiculous. I gave it, like, 20 minutes. I was going to keep going. I said, you know what? I got way too many things to watch that are way better than this. You're out. Blind Spot's out. Not talking about it after this episode. It's out. If you guys want to write me about it, maybe I'll talk about it then in feedback, but not from my angle. I'm not watching it. I'm not giving it any more time. It sucks. It just wasted 2 seasons. I should say wasted. I got a little bit of enjoyment out of it. It was fun, but now it just flew off the rails. It got so stupid and ridiculous that I'm out. So I'm not wasting more time with that. And I'm freeing a little time up. So now I'll have more time to talk about other shows and watch other shows, because I got a lot of shit to catch up on. But I did watch a few more good things. And the first one I'm going to talk about is Mr. Robot. Now, it's a USA show that I feel probably was pitched to a grittier cable network, didn't make it. Got on USA because sometimes they curse and they bleep it out, which leads me to believe that, like, when they really made it, it was probably for a grittier network. But, you know, it's in the 3rd season and I'm loving it, loving it. It's a crazy hacker / multiple personality / just, like, state of the society of the world, like, anonymous hacking type style stuff. I don't know how to describe it precisely. I've listened to a few podcasts about it, and these guys go hard, and I can't really keep up with them because they're, like, super really nerd about it and intelligent, and I'm not that intelligent. I like to think that I'm, like, somewhat intelligent enough to, like, work the computer and hit record and give you this podcast and produce that and do my music thing. But, like, when it comes to analyzing computers, I'm not that guy. I love to watch it, and I love the implications that it leads to and the questions about society it brings up. But the tech stuff, I'm not there, but I love it. So if you're looking for a recap of the show that's going to be, like, mind-blowing, check out The Bald Move. I know those guys do a good show. I listened to that a couple times, and I'm sure there's other good shows out there. I just haven't listened to them. I'll probably get back into them now that the season's picked up. But I was able to barrel through 3 episodes and catch back up. And if you're into it, you're listening still, I'm just going to tell you what I saw, what I liked, and what was crazy. Now, we got a lot of answers to a lot of questions that were like, who is Elliot? Who is Terrell? Is he Elliot? What's going on? Because, you know, up to last season, we've understood that he's got multiple personality disorder and he's fighting this. And Mr. Robot is the personality he makes up that is his father, who's basically the mastermind working with the Dark Army. And now we're in like a whole nother complex of like part of Elliot where he's trying to fight going into Mr. Robot mode, and his sister Darlene knows about it and she's working with the feds. And what does Elliot really know? And are we really seeing Elliot? Are we, you know, truthful on screen? Are we getting what we think is Elliot? And it's so cool though. But like, I believe it was the second episode in, or probably third episode in, they introduced, the first episode, they introduced Bobby Cannavale as a major part of F Society, who I guess is like an interloper and a fixer between the Dark Army. I'm sorry, not F Society. I'm going to say Dark Army he works for, and, you know, the people who they contract. And he's kind of overseeing the Elliot problem and the Terrell problem. And he's fixing the situation. Now, the way the second episode plays, you're a little confused, and all of a sudden, it becomes like a flashback type episode, but not fed to you in any normal sense of the way you've ever seen it before. And it just puts pieces together that made me so thrilled that this show is keeping the glue together. And I love it. I'm so into it. I can't wait till the next episode comes out. I don't know how to really describe, since I watched Barreled 1, 2, 3, as like nitpicking each episode, but as a whole show, I'm so in. I loved it. Now, I know Axel kind of dipped off a little bit. I hope he came back. I hope he got back into it. I love the anarchy part of the show. I love the hacking part of the show, the loneliness part of the show. There's just so many angles and depths to the show that intrigue me that I'm going to have to probably do a one-off episode just talking about Mr. Robot itself. But as of right now, 3 episodes in, I'm on board, loving this season. And that's my little thing on Mr. Robot. All right. Now, we're going to talk about The Deuce. The Deuce is finished. The 8th episode aired. And I loved the whole season. It finished in a way that was crazy. It started in a way that was inviting. And it fulfilled so many, I don't know how to say, I guess like check marks in what a show should give you. It made you develop, I guess, certain likenesses and dislikes for certain characters. You could relate to certain characters. There's so many that it's like your choice. I can't tell you who's good, who's bad, who's awesome, who's the best for you. I can tell you who I liked. You know, I love the role of Candy because I love Maggie Gyllenhaal. I love the way she developed this season. I love the way she had her focus and her mindset. I love how she was in some peril in certain, you know, episodes. But overall, I loved where she ended up. Where like she finally just grabbed the camera and the director's chair and started leading when things fell into her place, and she started doing good work. She started coaching the actresses and actors in ways that they've never been coddled before and told how to, you know, relax and enjoy it and not be nervous on film. And it was a very cool way to see how the start of porn was becoming a big deal, and the end of somewhat of the traditional pimp as we know it, you know, and those guys getting nervous. And you see in the end, sad scene for Ruby. I don't want to really describe it too hard on here in case you haven't yet seen it. I'm sorry, you know, it'll be something you'll see for Ruby, but that was crazy. to me, that was like a wild, wild ending to a somewhat like expected kind of scenario where, you know, this lifestyle is hard and something really tragic is going to happen, because it does often. And we got a really broad spectrum of a lot of the gritty lifestyle of being a sex worker, of being a bar manager, of being a street hustler, of being a pimp, of being a police officer, of being a journalist. So it's bringing it back, David Simon, Wire type fashion in New York City, the 70s, and I loved it. Thank you, The Deuce. Thank you guys for bringing that. And thank you, big thank you to Michael Hull and Jason Bailey. Thank you guys big time for The Deuce Rethread. You guys brought a stellar podcast, and I want to commend you for doing that. Thank you for the like companion to the episode. You guys are so intelligent, the way you break it down. Jason just brings a whole different angle with his knowledge of I guess having reviewed so many things, just so eloquently putting it. Mike has the right questions to ask. So together they really broke down The Deuce in a cool way that I thought was fun. It was quick. It wasn't drawn out where they had to you know, give you a recap of everything that happened, because you watched the episode. Why do you need a recap of the whole episode? I'm not going to do it on this show. They're not going to do it on their show, and I appreciate those shows. If I needed a recap, I would just watch the episode again, because I'm thinking like people who listen to podcasts are fairly intelligent, so you don't need a recap. You know, obviously we're going to talk about some scenes and maybe re-bring it up, but no one needs a, you know, and then minute 32, this happened, and then minute 37, this happened. Nah, nobody needs that. But I'm suggesting The Deuce Rethread. I told you before, I'm saying it again. You got to check that out. And while talking about these guys, I want to let you know that they put out a documentary that they made. It's called Lost and Found, a documentary, the true Hollywood story of silver screen cinema. Now, these guys bring it. They got great interviews. It's about the Pictures International. It was like a huge, I guess, like, what do they call it? Like Grindhouse distribution company. And they get interviews from critics and people in the industry and people who have been there. And it's just, these guys are great. I'm giving you the hype from what I know, from what I've read. I haven't seen it myself. I actually plan to sit down and watch this. But, you know, everything I've heard from the guys in the circle that we run with that, you know, said it's great. I'm actually going to do an on-air playing of the trailer, because these guys are just really good filmmakers, and I think that I'm going to love this, you know, even though I don't really dig a lot of Grindhouse stuff, but I think just any doc about that's told well and interesting, I like, even though I don't sometimes know the subject matter. So I'm going to give this a go here, and I'm going to play it on air. Let you guys hear it.
One exploitation studio.
Any of you kicks want to get high?
Was the home of cool cats.
Yeah, I'm ready, soul brother.
Bad girls.
Too bad, sucker.
And serial killers.
Oh, the critical consensus? Oh, garbage.
Literally no one was a fan of the silver screen movies.
They're thought of as garbage.
You're so lucky that you didn't see these movies.
But in 1984, it all got...
Arson investigators are looking into a fire.
A little too hot.
Nobody's been able to see any of these films since the fire in 84.
Until...
Are there more than that?
The Dubuque discovery.
11 slabs of steaming celluloid came back to get it on. Restored and presented for the first time.
That jog your memory.
Since their original theatrical presentation to tell the story of the Grindhouse studio so on fire, it burnt to the ground. Lost and Found, The true Hollywood story of Silver Screen Cinema Pictures International. In color for mature audiences only.
Flesh is coming soon to this theater. To this theater. See it.
Yeah, baby. That's our boy, Mike Hull, Jason Bailey. Nice. Looks good. I suggest if you guys want to check that out, Vimeo has it. You could rent it. You could buy it. Check it out. That's how I'm going to watch it. It's very interesting. It's a subject matter I know nothing about. So I'm really interested to see how this is going to really interest me and turn me on to something I knew nothing about. So shout out to those guys. I hope that somebody here listening goes and checks it out and supports these guys because they work hard and they're our friends at the DVR Podcast Network. So yeah, big shout out to Jason Bailey and Mike Hull for making that movie. Lost and Found, the true Hollywood story of Silver Screen Cinemas Pictures International. So check that out. Big plug from DJ Tim Hines. All right, so now we're going to get into two shows in the realm of something I love, find dear, and warms my heart, is the Marvel Cinematic Television Universe. We'll start with Inhumans. I watched the episode, Gentleman's Name is Gorgon. Just a fun episode about, you get a little backstory mixed in with the current situation of everybody on, you know, that's on Earth fighting Maximus, you know, who's up on the moon in the, you know, in their city, at Tillian's, city. And you see, you know, Black Bolt trying to like figure out how to, you know, navigate his guys and send, you know, Gorgon one way to go fight. And, they fight the Orin and her army that came to Earth through the portal of like miners, I guess, who I guess have some powers, and you know, now they're all in a battle, and just doesn't look good for Gorgon. So it was a good episode. I love Inhumans. It's fun. It's not, you know, I guess too in depth in story, but it's fun. If you like Marvel, it's very good. Now what surprised me that I watched all five episodes that I had in the box in, I guess, a day and a half, maybe two, and, you know, two different nights spread out, was Gifted. It's a Fox show, which has the rights to X-Men, and it's in the X-Men vein, and these are all mutants with the X gene, and it's somewhat in, I guess, a distant future or a close future in the X-Men realm. Now, it's a shame they couldn't really interlope the Marvel, true Marvel stuff, because that's owned by Disney, with the Fox stuff that owns the rights to X-Men. But it's still good. They put out a good product. Now, if you watched, say, Legion or the X-Men movies, Gifted fits right in. You know what's going on kind of with the X-Gene and how people in society treat people with the X-Gene. And this is sort of an underground network of people collecting and helping people who are being targeted by Sentinel Services, which is a service, I guess, like a contractor hired by the government that has, you know, a little bit of leeway and outside jurisdiction to hunt down people with the X gene who they feel are a threat to society, who possibly might not have even used their ability, just might have something crazy they heard of and they might deem a threat to society. So it got good. It got really good. I thought it was going to be cheesy. I thought it was going to be another like lame-o show, but they did it good and I enjoyed it. They stepped in like, I guess, society type questioning of what you do with people who are different. And it can apply to anybody who's different in any way. I kind of touched on this with that Epically Later episode when I did, you know, described that a little bit. If you're different in any way, you look different, you feel different, you act different, you're into things that are different, who cares? Be you. But know there's people out there like you somehow, and you don't have to be subjected to society in ways that they want you to be. So that's kind of the message I'm putting out with this show. On top of having cool effects and, You're seeing cool gifts that the X gene has provided these people that are called mutants. And, you know, it's fun. I like it. It's not as good as Legion as far as grit and storytelling, but the storytelling is there. It's good. It's, you know, superhero-y. It's fun. I enjoy it. I'm a Marvel guy over DC. I've said it many times. And I like it. I liked it. I don't really know how much to say per episode. I watched 5, so it's like kind of gets jumbled. I gave you like a synopsis kind of what it's about. The character building is good. I don't know. As I watch the next episode and I get like a little more detailed, I'll probably break it down to you, you know, a little bit how I liked that episode. So maybe you could like, you know, skip ahead if you didn't watch it. But if you gave it a shot by then, hopefully you caught up and we could chat. So let me look here. Now, I don't really write notes. I kind of just jotted down what I watched. And I talked about everything that I watched, you know. Might have been some things here or there. I watched Cake Boss earlier tonight. That was silly. Nothing major. I do watch, you know, random shows here or there. But those are the good ones. Those are the ones I wanted to share with you guys and talk to you guys, get on the mic about, and bring you inside DJ's DVR. You guys heard a little bit about my radio show on BN4IA, the Broadcast Network for Independent Artists. That's www.bn4ia, the number 4.com. And check that out. If you guys would like, you know, send me an email. I'll get you on the email list. You guys check out the house music. I gave you a little sample. Hope you dug it. We went over some things. Got that plug-in from Mikey Hull's movie. I hope you check that out. I'm going to check that out. Hopefully we'll talk about that in the future. Me and Axel have been talking about trying to bring something else to you guys. You know, if there's a show you think we should cover, hit us up. Let us know. And I'm going to give you the stuff, the plugs, the places to get at us, the socials, the whatnot. So the email, djdvrpodcast@gmail.com. Hit me up. Talk to me personally. The Twitter is @ DJ DVR Podcast. Now, Patreon, go there. DVR Podcast Network. That's us. We could use the support. Please support the podcast. It would be great. All the shows go up there first. You get a little bit early access. We just, you know, need a little support. Keep this thing rolling. Keep the money coming in so we can keep the equipment up, keep the sites up, all that good stuff. So go to Patreon, DVR Podcast. Go to dvrpodcast.com. Check out all our other shows. We have many shows now that are up there. And I told you about a couple. I'm going to let you find out the rest. Till next time, keep watching, keep recording, then watch more. But don't let the box get too full, because then you're going to have to make really hard decisions on what to cut. But if you want to cut Blind Spot, I recommend it. Cut that shit. It sucked. All right. Tim Hines bringing you the show. Peace out, Dodgers. Till next season. Love you guys for listening. Love you guys for downloading. Please go to iTunes. Leave the reviews. Hit me up. I left you all the details. If you got to rewind, check it out. Hit me back. Talk to me later. I'll talk to you soon. I'll get into the mic and I'll bring you more. Peace.